Okay, today's daf is Trumas daf Tzadi Dalid, and we are on Tzadi Gimel on the base. We're talking about issues of Bittel and Nesinas Tam. So we spoke about Chavilei Tiltan, the bundles of fenugreek, these bundles of Tiltan. The Mishnah said that if you have Chavilei Tiltan right at the top of the Amud, if you have a Chavilei Tiltan of Kilei Akerim, they have to be burned. As we know, Kilei Akerim have to be burned. If they're a Chavilei Tiltan of Tevel, so then we crush it and we get the seeds out, because the seeds, as we said, even though the stalks also have the same taste, but it's not really so edible. So the seeds are what one has to give truma from. If one labels even the stalks as truma, then you have to give that to the kohen too. But we said there was a machlokas achronim, whether that really has kedushas truma or not. So last couple of lines here on Tzadi Gimel Beis. Omar, sorry, Hayilo Chavilei Tiltan Shel Tevel. So the bundles, the Mishnah already calls Tevel. But what do you see from there? Bundles aren't really processed yet, right? You have the bundles of stalks and seeds, but we're going to learn in Maseches Maaseros, Be'ezus Hashem, that the Chiyuv of Trumas and Maaseros, which means when does the Shem Tevel really start? Only later, when there's Gemar Malacha, when I've already taking the stalks and cut the seeds off and put them in a pile and getting them ready to take back into my silo to be able to use. So, but you could have stalks in bundles that are already tevel. So ask the Gemara, or the Gemara points out, Milsa Amra, Ad Shehein Bechavilos, while they're still in bundles, Hein Nitbalos. So it's clear from here, even before Meruach, even before the smoothing out and the piling in the fields, there's a Shem Tevel. Because right, it's even just in the bundles. So Gemara says, Me'atav Afilu Shibalim, why don't you say the same thing by ears of corn? I'm sorry, ears of grain. Ears of grain, if you're telling me that it's already bundles before the Gemar Malacha, while it's still just bundled, so then why don't we say that not only by Tiltan, but also by grain? So the Gemara says, no, Ein Machnisan Lachain. Right, that's Machansan Lachain. Right, the grain, you don't do that. You don't put it into bundles and use it like that. The grain is crushed into flour, right? And they're not even bundled. You just crush it out in the field. You don't make it into bundles. So the Gemara says, what if you did? Follow chavios b'chad salachain. What about if you do it because you have some type of grain for eating? Well, you're not going to use it for flour, but you're going to use it. We're going to go with our girsa now. Some other mafarshim have another girsa, but we're going to do this one. What if you did it? You brought it in for that purpose. So the Gemara says, ein giduleim lachain. Right, they're not usually planted for this purpose, and therefore the Gemar Malacha of these items, and again we'll talk more about this in Maaseros, the Gemar Malacha for these items go by the Rove, which is Meruach, which is the later stage. The Elu, the Tiltan, the Chatzal Lachem, we can do on Lachem. Right, it's a little of both. Right, so that's why, because it's a little of both. So that's why it's possible that the Gemar Malacha and the Shem Tevel could come even earlier. We're going to have to talk about, Be'ez Hashem, the halacha of when Tevel really starts. There is a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos that seems to say that, right, what would I have said? I would have said Tevel starts after Gemar Malacha, meaning you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to snack. Right, achilas arai, when you go out to the field and you pick some fruits or vegetables, you're allowed a snack there, achilas arai. But only after Gemar Malacha, after you gather it up and put it into a pile and smooth it out, so that's when we say it is, you're not allowed to even eat achilas arai. So I would have thought, the pashup shot is that, because that's when the Shem Tevel starts. It's not Tevel earlier. It's Tevel only by when there's Gemar Malacha. Beforehand, it's something else. It's just growths before it gets to Tevel, and when it gets to Tevel, then I'm not allowed to eat it at all. But there is a Rambam, and the Pirush Mishnayos has one line, which has maybe another understanding. And that is, maybe it's Tevel right away, but you're allowed to snack on it. Because that's not eating. The Isser of Tevel is not like other Ismacholos Asuros. You're not allowed to snack on pig. You're not allowed to snack on other Isurim. But maybe Tevel is different. Tevel, before Gemar Malacha, you're allowed to snack on. Tevel after Gemar Malacha, you're not allowed. So we'll have to see, but I should talk about that more, but that's just in terms of these few lines here that talk about when is it possible to have a Shem Tevel before you did Meruach and the whole processing. And we said maybe by Tiltan you can. Okay, here we go. Next Mishnah. Zeisei Chulin, olives. Talking about olives. Top of Sadi Dalam and olives. Zeisei Chulin, think about it, we've been on Trumas for a long time, 94 days, 3 months of Trumas. So zeisei chulin shakavshan and zeisei truma. If I am pickling, this is our girsa now. We'll see some rishonim have another girsa. But our girsa is that it's kavush here. So I have olives of chulin and olives of truma. Olives of chulin and olives of truma. So the olives are in the same barrel, the chulin olives and the truma olives. And the question is, as we know, do the chulin olives, and I guess you can tell the difference between the two. If you can't tell the difference between the two, then you have to be machmer. But if you know what the chulin olives are, so do we assume that the taste of the truma olives went in through pickling to the chulin olives? Because as we have mentioned already in this Pesachta and elsewhere, even though usually taste transfer is only through heat, but there is the principle, two principles, of kavish kimevushal and maliach kiroseach. When something is salted, so that somehow transfers the taste, and kavish kimevushal also transfers taste. Kavish kimevushal. There is a machlokas rishonim, whether kavish kimevushal only applies by very strong liquids, like vinegar, or a pickling material, liquid, or any, even by water. We paskin, Rashi seems to say limited, but we paskin anything, even water. That's the principle of kavish kimevushal. So if something is soaked in liquid for 24 hours, so we assume then there can be taste transfer. And that's quoted, all the halachas are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Kuf Hei. Kuf Hei. Iser shenishra im heter, me'es la'es. Bitzonein. An iser that is soaking in heter. Me'es la'es, 24 hours. Bitzoni, even in cold mikri, kavish v'harei kumavushal. V'ne'asar kulo. And it all becomes ne'asar, because of the soaking. Aval pachos bikan badachasagi. If it's less than that, just rinse it off. Just rinse it off. And says the Ramah, Hagav, v'chol makam sh'adamina kavish kumavushal, afilu masha chutz l'kvisha asar. Right, what if you have something in pickling, but there's a part of the salad that's sticking out? Right, it's still asar. The idea, kvisha shalamata mifapeya lamala. It goes, it spreads, even what's above the pickling. Kemo bibishol. V'yesh mekila b'masha b'chutz. Some are mekel on what's outside. V'safei kavish asur. Safei kavish is asur. Wow. Milvad b'basur imchalav das livin lakula deminatore in asur rak bishol mamish. But it's only asur daraisa. Then he says v'im kavish b'toch tzir b'toch chometz. So then it could be even, according to some, even less than 24 hours. Okay, so that's kavish. But that's similar, it seems to be what we're talking about here. So you have olives, you have chulin olives and truma olives in a barrel. They're being pickled together. So is there taste transfer? So the first line of the Mishnah is like the title. Zeisei chulin shekavshim, zeisei truma. So let's talk about the details. So it depends, are they whole olives or are they crushed, open olives? So it depends. Pitsuei chulin and pitsuei truma. If they're both crushed, so again, if it's crushed, then it's easier to taste transfer. Pitsuei chulin in shleimei truma, or if the chulin ones are crushed, so it's easy for them to get taste. Im shleimei truma, the whole ones, obemei truma, or even if the pitsuei chulin are soaking in pickling vinegar, or whatever the liquid is, pickling water liquid that had truma soaking in it earlier. So all of those usher. If the chulin ones are patsua, so to speak, if the chulin ones are crushed, so then there's going to be taste transfer from whole olives, from crushed olives, or from olives of metruma. Aval, the only one that's mutter is shleime chulin in pitsue truma mutter. If the chulin olives are whole and the truma olives are crushed, so then that's mutter. We don't assume that the crushed olives are going to put their taste into the whole olives of chulin. They're strong enough to have like an armor, and they're not going to be affected. I'll mention it now, but I'll mention it again. Be'ez Hashem Amud Beis. The Rosh, all the Rishonim here say, if kavish is actually kimivushal, by cooking, there's never a difference between whole and crushed. If there's a taste transfer, the taste transfer. It doesn't matter if you're cooking and talking about crushed or whole. So why here, all of a sudden, by kavish kimevushal, there's a chiluk between whole and crushed olives. By cooking, there's no difference. So the Rosh and the Rosh both say, so maybe, we're going to continue with talking about the pickling, but they say it could be there's another girsa that we'll have later on, that instead of kavshan in the Mishnah, it says shulkan, which is a light cooking. So maybe that's the whole thing, and then you don't have any issues with kavish kimevushal. Okay, so that's one, what they suggest in one place. But now let's get back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says, Zoso meres. What does this Mishnah teach me? That if the chulin ones are patsuin, then for sure they get taste. But if the chulin ones are whole, then you're okay. What does that teach me? Zosomeris. Pitsuin, bolin, upoltin, vechosrin, ubolin. If you have, right when you put the olives into the pickling, let's assume that the pickling liquid is chulin. So right when I put my Petsua olives in, so it all of a sudden is boleya, it absorbs the chulin pickling brine, upoltin, it spits out the pickling brine, but now the pickling brine is like mixed with truma flavor, the chosen ubalin, and then it absorbs more, because when you have a petsua olive, it secretes, and then it absorbs, and then it secretes and absorbs, fine, that's what you see from the Mishnah, shleimin, but whole olives, whole olives, bowl in, you put them into the pickling brine, it absorbs the chulin pickling taste, upaltin, then it spits out, va'odein bolin, but then it doesn't absorb anymore. Once the whole olives absorb the brine, the chulin brine, they don't absorb anymore, and that's why the Mishnah says, if you have the whole chulin olives, it's not going to carry the taste. Fine, step number one. What else could we learn from this Mishnah? Hada amra, lo lishvach v'lo lifkam aser. What's the taste transfer here? It's what we would call min bimino, right? It's olives to olives. So does that make it better? Does that make it worse? Neither. Right? We've been speaking about the past couple of days, no sin tam lefgam, no sin tam leshvach. Does it give a better taste? Does it give a worse taste? What if it gives a neutral taste? No sin tam lefgam, we paskin is mutter. No sin tam leshvach, we paskin is usser. What if it's neutral? What is that like? So what does it sound like from this Mishnah? Right? It's a neutral taste. It's olives and olives and we assume if it got in there, it would be usser. So Masnisa to Rabbi Shimon. So if that's true, isn't the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon? To Rabbi Shimon, Amar Nosin Dam Lefkam usser. Doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold Nosin Dam Lefkam is usser? So if Nosin Dam Lefkam is usser, then surely a neutral taste is going to be usser. Right? Nosin Dam Lefkam is even the worse. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon, Amar Nosin Dam Lefkam mutter. Well, don't you remember a couple of dafim ago? Rabbi Meir is the one that says Nosin Tam Lefgam is Aser. Rabbi Shimon knows Nosin Tam Lefgam is Mutter. So what are you talking about? That the Mishnah, this Mishnah, our Mishnah seems to say neutral taste is also Oser. But why would you think that's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says Nosin Tam Lefgam is Mutter. So maybe he even holds neutral taste is Mutter. So it can't be that Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says it must be a different Rabbi Shimon. There's a different Rabbi Shimon out there that proves to me that neutral taste is Mutter, meaning is Aser. A isser, let's say pig, gives off a bad taste, it's mutter. A good taste is usser. Neutral taste is also usser. So where do you see Rabbi Shimon says that? Kahadal, like the following Rabbi Shimon, which is from a Mishnah in 3 days from now, Daf Sadi Vav. Rabbi Shimon says there, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kruv shel shikya, sheshalku im kruv shel ba'al. Remember from Meseches Moed Katan, there are different types of fields. There are fields that just rely on rain, and rain is enough for them. That's called shel baal. The baal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the baal. So, just rain. Shikya means it has to be irrigated. It has to be irrigated. So what if you have mixed in, you cook together, chulin cabbage, kruvis cabbage, chulin cabbages from an irrigated field, cooked with truma cabbages of a just rain field. If you cook them together, asur. Mipnei shehu boleya. Because it's boleya. But what do you see from there? Neutral taste. Cabbage to cabbage. Neutral taste, Rabbi Shimon's talking, and he says, usser. So that's where Rabbi Shimon says neutral taste is usser. You don't need to, don't get into no sin tam lefgam. Rabbi Shimon holds, like we hold, no sin tam lefgam is mutter. But he holds neutral taste is usser, not based on a kal vachomer from no sin tam lefgam, but because he says a beferish. He says a beferish in the Mishnah on Daf Sadi Vav, and that's quoted here. Good. So this is the first Mishnah about pickling, about the olives. So now we have another Mishnah about pickling. Says the Mishnah. Halacha hey, on top. Dag tame shekavshu im dag tohar. If you have fish, kosher and non-kosher fish that you put into brine. So the Mishnah, interestingly, the Mishnah is just going to talk about whether the brine becomes not kosher. You have kosher and not kosher fish that you put into brine. So does the non-kosher fish make the brine not kosher? The Gemara is going to talk about what about the other fish? What about the kosher fish? The Mishnah doesn't talk about that. The Mishnah is just going to talk about the brine. So you have a kosher and a non-kosher fish that are in brine together. So the Mishnah gives us some ratios and numbers, which we're going to have to get into heavy math
Beth Hashem, tomorrow's daf. But first, what does the Mishnah say? Kol grav, grav is a barrel, kol grav shu machzik sasayim. If you have a two sa'ah barrel, the barrel holds two sa'ah, then the Mishnah is going to tell us what's the amount of non-kosher fish which will make the brine not kosher. Im yesh bo mishkal asara zuzim b'Yehuda. If you have non-kosher fish, the weight of 10 zuzim in Yehuda, shein chamei slam b'galil, which is the weight of 5 slime in Galil, because there you have less silver content, dag tamei, tziro aser. So without even getting into the details, the Mishnah says if you have a certain amount of non-kosher fish in a barrel of tusa'ah, then the tzir, the brine, is going to be aser. Which works out, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's 1/960th. A tiny amount. If you have 1/960th of non-kosher fish as compared to the brine, so that is going to aser the brine. Why is it so tiny? Don't we hold of shishim? What's the answer? This is davar charif. Right, this is davar charif. Brine is charif. You're pickling. So therefore, you have even a higher shear, even a stronger shear, and therefore, it's going to have a higher shear. That's 1/960th. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, revius bisasayim. A revius in tusah. What's that? 1/192. These are going to be numbers that the Gemara is going to work out on tomorrow's daf. But 1/192. Right, so the first opinion is 1/960. The second one is 1/192. That's the ratio. That's the ratio that Rabbi Yehuda holds. Says the Mara Folda, one second, Rabbi Yehuda? One second, we know Rabbi Yehuda from all over Shas. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds, min b'mino is not batel. Rabbi Yehuda, look at the Mara Folda right in the middle of the page. V'yafa gav Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino lo batel. Remember, we like to quote that Rabbi Yehuda whenever we talk about the Ran, about Davar Sheish L'Matirin. That, right, what is he explained to Rashi Shabbatirin, there's only bittul when there's a clash. Remember, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda's bim bimino is not bittul, because there's no clash. So we don't hold that. We hold Isser and Heter is enough of a clash, even if it's bim bimino. But, remember, that's how the Ran explains, Dover Sheish L'Matirin, and Isser that's going to become mutter, that's enough Heter that it's no clash into Heter, and that's why Davar Sheish L'Matirin is not batel. Different than Rashi, which just says in the beginning of Beit, so you might as well wait. That's the fancy explanation of Davar Sheish L'Matirin. But that's based on Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Mara Folda. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino lo batel. So this is fish and fish. So, and it's in seer, it's all one type, isn't it? Right? So it should never be batel. It says it's batel in 1/190 seconds. It should never be batel. Says the Mara Folda, no. Shiny tzir dezeya ba'almahi. This fish brine, it's not really food. It's just like we said yesterday, zeya ba'almahi is like sweat. It's like, doesn't have such a significant status. Ve'ein isuro elami derabanan. The whole thing is it's a derabanan here. Fish brine becoming truma? That's derabanan. Lefichach amar delata b'masayin. That's what we say. He said his batel in 200. It means 1/190 seconds. But that's what he said his batel. So even though Rabbi Yehuda generally holds bin vino is not batel, but here he holds it is batel because it's drabanan. Rabbi Yosi Amar, third opinion, echad mishisha aserbo. Okay, 1/16th. That's getting a little bigger. You have to have, these are all the shiurim in terms of the fish. So again, we'll get back to more of that by the Shem on tomorrow's daf. Next section, chagavim, grasshoppers. Chagavim tameim shenech b'shuim. Chagavim tameim. You have grasshoppers that are pickling together. Lo paslu asiran. Any of the goo or the brine that comes out, or the brine that gets the taste of the grasshoppers, totally mutter. Why? Because we just said the whole issue of brine, it's not really a food. So the whole thing is going to be a derabanan. The derabanan, does it get taste or not? So we say if it's grasshopper taste in the brine, that's nothing. That's not significant at all, and therefore we say it's mutter, right? That's for sure zeya ba'alma. The Rabbanan only asserted pure, non-kosher grasshopper brine. If it comes right out of the grasshopper, it oozes out, some type of liquid. But if it's mixed in at all with anything, then it passels, then it doesn't passel. And hey, it Reb Tzadok al tzir chagavim tmeim shutar. Reb Tzadok himself said, if you have the tzir, he not only says if it's mixed in, he says it's totally mutter. Even if you have some gooey liquid stuff that oozes out of non-kosher grasshoppers, it's kosher. It's kosher if one would want to eat it. But that's kosher. We're going to see B'Hashem on tomorrow's daf. Not tomorrow, actually the next day, the top of Tavim and Aleph, we're going to see Rev Chaim Kanievsky has a whole chapter about this line of Rabbi Tzadok. Right? Remember, Rev Chaim has a whole sefer on the laws of grasshoppers. Karnei Chagavim. Karnei Chagavim. And he says, there's no Shulchan Aruch. And grasshoppers are grasshoppers, so that's you have to know. Reisi shemitzvah zu pratei ma'atim b'shulchan aruch v'rishonim l'chein samti libi la'ayin bazez. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch on a number of areas of halacha that there is no Shulchan Aruch, like Egla Rufa. He wrote the Sefer Nachal Eisan and on Karnei Chagavim, right? The famous, if you know it, it's famous, right? The story of the grasshoppers and Rav Chaim Kanievsky that he jumped out of the wall because he couldn't figure one out, and it sat on his Gemara, and the grasshopper let him analyze its wings and its legs, and then he said, okay, thank you, and he went back, and he said it's a true story. He said it's a true story, and there are other stories related to that one. But either way, this is his whole sefer on Karnei Chagavim, and it relates to this idea. Again, it's relating to every area of Torah has to be learned. And we have to recognize that, you know, the zchus also, should think about that every couple of weeks, maybe even every day, the zchus that we have of learning Yerushalmi, which has been the forsaken, so to speak, shas, again, doesn't mean that we shouldn't learn the Bavli, we should learn both, but the zchus that we have of learning Yerushalmi every day is really a tremendous zchus that we have to have. It's an area of Torah, like the Sefer Chasidim says in Reis Samach Aleph, Ehov l'cha es ha-mitzvah ha-doma l'meis mitzvah she'en lo-oskim. Love the mitzvahs and love the mesechtes that nobody learns. Rav Meir Shapiro quoted this when he started Daf Yomi. Right? Me'ila krisus. They're all crying. Nobody learns me. So Yerushalmi also, so Baruch Hashem, we're able to learn it now. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tani, Rav Yehuda Bar Pazi de Bar Dalia. Rav Yehuda Bar Pazi quoted a brisa from Bar Dalia. Dag tohar tafel. Shekafshu im dag tamei maliach. You have an unsalted kosher fish. Unsalted kosher fish. You pickled with a salted non-kosher fish. Right? Usser. That's usser because we assume the taste went from the salted fish into the non-kosher, into the kosher fish. So, right, it's pickled together and therefore it's a problem. Fatani rebichia madicha umoter, but we have another brisa. Another brisa that from Rabbi Chiya. What do you mean? As long as it's whole, right? Just wash it off. Just wash it off. So how could the first brisa of Bar Dalia say if you have kosher and not kosher fish mixed together, pickling together, right? One salted, one not salted. It's a usser. Rabbi Chiya says it's mutter. So Amar Rabbi Mana, it depends. Amar Rabbi Mana, man to Amar mutter. The second brisa, b'shekav shon shtein ka'achas. If you put both of the fish in the fish brine at the same moment. If you put them at the same moment, so then what? Like we said before, they're whole. So they absorb the kosher fish brine. There's fish brine in there first, that's chulin, that's kosher. It absorbs and it's whole. So then, and then it spits it out. And then, as we said before, it doesn't reabsorb the second stage. So if you put them in at the same moment simultaneously, so that's why the fish are going to be kosher. The kosher fish will not absorb the taste of the non-kosher fish. Man da amar aser, but the first brisa of Bar Dalia that says aser, you know what that case is? B'shekavshin zachar zeh. So about you put in one after another. First you put in the non-kosher fish, so now the fish brine is not kosher. And then you put in the kosher fish, so right when it starts absorbing, it's not kosher. So it depends if you put it in or not, the same simultaneously or one after another. Taylor l'choshu, can I prove to you that this is true, that it makes a difference if you put it in after one after another? Titaninan, our Mishnah. Remember the end of our Mishnah said, O b'mei truma aser. We said if you put in the olives, the pitsue zesim, into the mei truma, right, it's going to be aser. So you're putting it into mei truma. What is mei truma? That means truma had been soaking here earlier. So obviously it's a case of zechar zeh, and that's why it's usser. The whole olives are mutter with other olives. If you put them with other olives, it's okay. But it's usser if you put them into mei truma. Why? Because you see, zechar zeh would be more usser than simultaneous. So you have that as a raya from the first case of our Mishnah. Salting, as we're talking about here, pickling and salting, salt comes up in many areas of halacha. Obviously, you have to be, there's a mitzvah of salting on the mizbeach. Every karban has to be salted. Tosfos discusses in Maseches Brachas, interesting, about salt on the Shabbos table. Salt on the Shabbos table. The Gemara in Brachas Dav Mem talks about, why does this come up there? Because it talks about the hefsekim that you are allowed to have, if need be, between saying hamotzi and eating bread. So the Gemara talks about, you know, give food to the animals, right? If you didn't feed your animal yet, your animal's supposed to eat before you. So that's not called a hefsek. And one is, hevi melach, bring the salt. That's such a tzorich that after you say amotzi before you eat, you're allowed to say that. Okay, lachadchila not, but if you need to, says Tosfos, va'anu ein anu regilin lahavi al shulchan lo melach lo liftan. We don't bring salt to the table, says Tosfos. Mishum depas shalonu chashiv. Our bread, our challah is so tasty. We don't need the salt. Fahari hu ki ha da'amar besamach les dein tzorach boshesh. Fine. So that's first day of Tosfos. Mihu Rabbi Menachem. Rabbi Menachem haye medaktik ma'od lahavi melach al shulchan. Rabbi Menachem was very medaktik to put salt on the table based on the medrash. You're sitting at the table because, as happened, oh, it never happens in my house, you know, you washed and you're sitting there, and everybody's rushing because they don't want you to wait. Not, right? What happens often, people wash whenever they get around to washing. And, you know, sometimes the balabais feels, if I'm going to wash, okay, they're going to come. Okay, we try our best. But, so we're sitting there. What are we doing? We're wasting our time. We're not having shir. Says that the satan is makatreg. Well, we're all sitting at the table and we're not learning Torah. What are we doing? Fein below mitzvahs. Hasatan makatreg aleihem. Ubris melach megan aleihem. Hashem sees the salt. He remembers the covenant that he has with Bnei Yisrael on the salt. Bris melach. We have salt on every carbon. So that saves us. And guess what? That's in Shulchan Aruch. Ramah kuf samach zayin. Ramah kuf samach zayin in Hilchas Seuda. Hilchas Seuda says the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes like the first day of Tosfos. You should bring salt, but maybe if our bread is perfect, then you don't have to bring salt. Ramah mikol makom mitzvah lahavi al kol shulchan melach kodem sheyifsa. This is not in Hilchas Shabbos, by the way. This is just in Hilchas Seuda, which means like on every even weekday, right? You should bring salt on the table. Ki hashulchan, and he quotes why. Number one, hashulchan domel mizbeach. The Shulchan is like the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is Achilas Shamayim, and this is Achilas Adam. V'Achila k'Karbon, v'Namer al-Kol Karbon chatakrev melach. This is like a carbon we're bringing whenever we eat. And on every carbon you have to have salt. V'Umagein mina peronis. And it prevents from peronis. What's that parentheses? Tosfos, parakeitz and mevarchin. What peronis? We just saw the Tosfos. That's the peronis, because the satan is being makatrig. What are these Jews doing? Right? Well, they're just sitting here. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Medrash. The Yisabah Medrash, Kish Yisrael, Yoshin and Mamtin and Zezet, Shiit Ludeim, Ebel HaMitzvahs, HaSatan, Mekatreg, Aleihem. So that's the salt comes up. Again, there's a lot of other symbolism of salt also. Remember the Medrash that the, when Hashem split the Mayim El Yonim and the Mayim Tachtonim, he brought some water on top of the Rakia. Some of the bottom water was very upset. And that's what they say, that every time you see a wave, the wave is trying to go up and trying to get back up to Shamayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was crying. It's crying. Salty, bitter tears. That's why it's salty in the ocean. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry about it. I'm going to use you for a mitzvah. What mitzvah? There's going to be salt on the Mizbeach. Nisuch HaMayim. Right? On Sukkos. And also, you know, it's good to have salt at the table. And that's, so based on that medrash also, there's a lot of symbolism. Again, if you look in the Mefarshim talk about, there's a Yalkut Me'am Loes, Kishem She'ef Shal Olam Belo Melach, Kach Ye'ef Shal Olam Belo Torah, a lot of other symbolism of salt. Interesting, I once heard there's a question about Rosh Hashanah. We know Rosh Hashanah, we have honey. That's the minute to have honey. You have honey and salt, or honey instead of salt? Right, you have honey and salt, so which one? Different minhagim. One should follow their minhag. I think most people have both. Leave the salt on the table at least. According to this, you don't have to use the salt. Put the salt on the table, and then you can just at least dip it in the honey. So I once heard a musar that there's a gemara that says, I think it's a gemara, I have to look it up again, that you don't have to worry when you eat honey. First thing, it talks about the kashas of honey, right? Hayotzim and atame tame. Anything that comes out of a non-kosher animal is not kosher. Not kosher, milk from a horse or milk from a camel. So why is honey kosher? Doesn't it come out from a bee? Does it come out from a bee? So, no, Chazal say no, it doesn't come out from a bee. The bee is just the transport. Right, it goes from the flower and to the honeycomb, but the bee is just the transport. It doesn't come out from the bee. But the Gemara says, aren't there bees' legs that like end up in the honey? Don't have to worry about bees' legs. The Gemara says, no, when it goes in, it's panim chadashos. It loses its status as a bee's leg, and it just becomes honey. Honey has the power to change the essence. What does salt do? What are we talking about here? What do you pickle something for? Salt preserves. Salt keeps what's there and makes it stay longer. Right? You have a cucumber in your fridge, right? It stays for a couple of days. You have a pickle in your fridge, a pickled cucumber, it can stay for weeks. Right? So salt symbolizes preserving, while honey symbolizes changing. Rosh Hashanah, we want to change. We want to preserve. We want to become new people. And that's why Rosh Hashanah, we use honey. We use honey, and which is the symbol of change, and not salt. Again, I think there's also, like we just said for the Medrash, at least have the salt on the table because of the Medrash. Either way, this is explaining the first part of the Mishnah. Next time we get into Grav, and we have a major source for a major machlokas we show him on tomorrow's daf about birya. About birya. Birya is not batel. Is it batel in 1,000, or is it not batel in 1,000? You know what the source for that is? The 10th parak of Trumas, Ad Hashem, on tomorrow's daf. Okay, we'll stop here.